We are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. You know, God's been speaking to me for the last couple of weeks about who we are, what our identity is. Last week we talked about being adopted as sons and daughters into God's family. And this week is actually turning into a little series that we're starting, and I think we're going to be here for the next handful of weeks. Till when, I don't know, until God releases me from that. So that's where we're going to be. That's what we're going to be realizing is who we are and our identity because of Jesus. You know, the world tries to tell us who we are sometimes. They might want to try to tell us who we are, telling us what's right and wrong, what type of stuff to celebrate, but they don't define us. God defines us. Those of you who have accepted Jesus into your hearts, you are a saint. See, he gives us a new identity. This morning, we're going to recognize, if you couldn't figure out by the chapter that you were turning to, that we're a new creation. So it's too fitting that even after I started preparing this message, we got hit up about getting multiple baptisms. So this is all Holy Spirit. This is all something that only God can line up and plan today. And so we have this baptismal set up behind me. The water's warm. It's ready to go. If at any point, if you haven't been baptized in the past and you want to be baptized, feel free to go talk to David in the back. He's in the peach-colored shirt, and he can get you ready for...
I said it's salmon.
Salmon. It's peach. Hey, be glad I get outside of the primary colors. So, but being baptized is an outward expression of an inward change, of being a new creation. So there's a verse in here that's actually the very first verse that I ever learned and memorized. And it's part of our identity in this passage here. I'm actually going to start in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If you guys are new here, I like to go through multiple translations because it gives a little bit different flavor, and it shows you that God's word can be so in depth and so rich in flavor. In the Amplified Bible, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. In the Message translation, it says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Burgeon means grow quickly. Look at it. We're not done. The Passion Translation. So from now on, we refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted us to the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are a new creation. We are a new creature. Our very identity is no longer who we used to be or what we used to do. We have a new identity with Christ. When we asked God to dwell in us, he really did that. He really made his home within us. It says, if any man is in Christ, if any man lives in him, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to also walk just as he walked. If we are in Christ, when we joined ourselves to Christ, we will walk the way Jesus did. We will walk and talk and act the way that Jesus did. Now, Jesus, he didn't compromise. He had dialogue with those who may not have seen things the same way that he did. He would ask the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes questions to get them to start thinking themselves about what was happening right before their eyes, giving them the option to listen to what he had going. He had a gentle answer oftentimes, and it spoke straight to their hearts. It would make them think and decide whether they would want to receive the truth that they had just heard or not. When we position ourselves in Christ, we have that same Holy Spirit to guide us. We are positioned in that love that Jesus demonstrated. Our actions should reflect the Holy Spirit living inside us. And that's the beauty about the gospel, is that when we invite Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, he comes and dwells in us, never leaving us. We have that very new nature in Christ. But we must embrace the new nature. It's exactly that. It's new. It's not the same old and same old. It's not doing things to impress others. It's not acting one way on Sundays and the men's fellowship and other times during the week and then completely different at home. But it's acting a certain way because that's who we are. It's a change of how our very nature is. It's a change that comes up within us. It works its way out of us. See, some of us, it may be a new wardrobe that God tells us to wear. It may be a new way of talking. maybe a completely different vocabulary that you know is about 10 words, 15 words. But not because somebody told you to stop doing it, but because God told you to stop doing it. That you heard from God Himself. That's the way God changes us, is from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's that new nature that emerges from within us. Our identity is known by the new nature. The world loves to tell us who we are, trying to remind us of the old you, the old nature. And that's what the world tries to tell us anymore. And sometimes we're guilty of doing that ourselves without even realizing it. You don't believe me? Now, I don't need a show of hands, but think about this. How many of you guys, when you're giving somebody directions, you use what old businesses were when trying to tell them where to turn? Am I right? You tell them, yeah, go turn at the old BP station. So you're driving along and you don't see a BP station to turn at. Because now the pump doesn't read BP, it says Amoco or Phillips 66 or something else. It's just part of the culture in the area. When I first moved down here, it was back in the day before GPS on your cell phones. GPS itself actually was just starting to take off. So you would go online and you go to MapQuest and you'd print out directions. And that was fine as long as nothing changed after you left the house. Because then you're just trying to figure out where you're going. So you stop in, you ask for somebody for directions. So they give you something, they're nice, they give you something. And you head out, and before you know it, you're lost again. So you stop somewhere else and ask them where this place is that you're supposed to turn, and they go, oh, they've been out of business for 20 years. But that's kind of how it is, though. Sometimes we just recognize the old, what used to be there, without even thinking about it. You know, when I tell people where New Life Church is located at here, I tell them, yeah, the corner of US 31 and 50 North. And there you can see them thinking. I go, okay, where you turn off to go west on 14 if you're going south on 31? Oh, the old John Deere dealership. Yep. John Deere has not been in this building for a long time. But people still associate that with it. Now, don't get me wrong, I do it too, just to be transparent. Can't tell you how many times Stock and Field, I still call them Big R, even though they're about to change their name yet again when they go reopen. See, Brandon's the same way. So too often, though, we call things by what they used to be. As a Christian, we should be the first to realize we should identify with what the new is there. No longer the old. Our old nature is dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. We shouldn't try to associate with what has passed away. In the Gospels, Mary Magdalene, it says that she had seven demons cast out of her. But aside from Luke and Mark both mentioning it, just mentioning it once, nowhere else is it referenced. It's because that was the old Mary. That wasn't her current state. It wasn't who she was when they knew her. No one else brings that up in the Gospels. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of power in our testimonies. See, God's brought us all out of a lot of different things. That's a wonderful thing about the family and the body of Christ is that we all have a different background. We all came out of different things, but it's the same God that changed us to no longer desire whatever that thing was that was leading us down to a road of destruction. Our testimonies, though, we can use that and go, yeah, I used to struggle with that, though. But here's how God changed me. Here's the hope that there is in Jesus. You don't have to be stuck in that lifestyle. When we recognize someone as that, oh yeah, that's the guy that used to be involved with witchcraft or homosexuality or drugs. Whatever it was they used to be involved with, it just continually throws that in their face. It's like when you try to decide to go on a diet, and you say you're going to cut out your sweets and try to eat more vegetables. And then you go to the store and you're picking up a few things. You're walking down the aisleway and you see, hey, the Cadbury cream eggs are out early this year. It's like putting something that they really desire right in front of them that they might be struggling with at that time. You might not be seeing that they're being tempted by that continuously right now. We don't know what kind of battles somebody is facing at the time. The enemy loves to bring up our former self. He loves to bring up something that you thought you put behind you, and it puts it right back of, ooh, that looks good. That's exactly what the enemy tries to do. Thankfully, though, God has given us His grace. He has given us what we don't even deserve. The sin is dead to us. It's our old nature. Now listen to me here. We are no longer sinners. Yes, we used to be sinners, but that's not our new nature anymore. We're now saints. Now, do we sin occasionally? It'd be lying if we said no. Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. Our nature is no longer that of a sinner. We shouldn't identify ourselves as that anymore. Trying to bring back the old doesn't work. It's dead to us. It's so fitting that we're having baptisms this morning. Romans 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we baptize, or how shall we who died live any longer? I'm going to say that again. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that in Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ, God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some old natures are going to be buried this morning. We have some people this morning who are leaving the old persons dead. It's going to stay in that water right there. When they come back up, though, they're going to have newness of life. Death no longer has rule over us. It's our part to walk in victory. We have the very identity of victorious living. That old sin nature has fallen off of them. The old them is dead. There are three groups that are here in attendance this morning for these baptisms. We have all of you here that are seeing this public declaration that they're making. They are making an outward sign of an inward change. They are counting on you to help them with accountability. They're sharing this moment with you, witnessing them say that they are taking a step of obedience in following the ordinance of water baptism. The second group of people we have here this morning is all of heaven. They are rejoicing this morning because the state of the heart of these people getting baptized is strong, telling heaven that they are no longer living for themselves. They're making a statement that they belong to Christ, that their old nature was buried with him, and their very new nature is raised with them. The third group is Satan and his kingdom. They're seeing what's going on and knowing what kind of statement this is. They're losing some that they've been able to use in the past. They know that this declaration is no small thing. I encourage the body here this morning to be praying for these that are getting baptized. The enemy likes to attack following something like this. The enemy likes to increase the doubt following something like this. I'm not trying to speak anything over them. I'm just recognizing the tactics that he's tried to use time and time again. He's not very smart. He keeps playing the same thing over and over, thinking he'll get a victory. I remember clinging to 2 Corinthians 5:17 when I was first a new believer. The enemy tries to sneak thoughts in there. Says that you're not really any different than you were, that you're just going to go running back to wherever it was you were before, that you're just putting on a false front, that nothing's really different, that none of it's real, you're just going to do whatever you want anyway. If you're taking notes, planning on posting something on Facebook this afternoon, write this down. If the enemy reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. The enemy is defeated. He was defeated at the cross. He only has authority if we allow him in there. He's received his eviction notice. Nothing can keep us from telling him to leave. Nothing can stop the declarations that we are making in the kingdom. We are no longer what the world says we are. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. As we talked about last week with Father's Day, we are a part of the household of God. That is part of our new creation. Our citizenship is in the kingdom of God. The old us was strangers and foreigners, but we ain't strangers and foreigners anymore. Ephesians 4:17, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. No longer do we walk as the rest of the world we walk. God intended us to be different. He intended us to be light in the darkness. He wants us to be partakers of the light that he has for us. The word new we've been talking about this morning, it's an unprecedented or unheard of kind of new. It's a new unlike any other newness you can imagine. That's the kind of new creation we are. Here's the best thing about God making us new. He's continuously making us new. Whether you're saved for 2 months or 20 years, it's a continuous newness. Every step you take is a step of newness. I'm new, more new than I was 10 minutes ago. I'm more new than I was 10 seconds ago. Don't ever think that you've hit the end of your walk with God. He wants you to walk in newness every day. Our body of believers here, we go with the name of New Life as the group. And that's something that we can be telling people, is that there is indeed new life in Jesus. Behold, all things have become new. We need to be seeing them as though they're new. If we're continually being made new, you never know when there will be something that God wants to reveal to us. We can't try to hold on to the old so strong that we miss out on something new and better right in front of us. When we hold on to the old, we use those directions we printed out and miss out on Google Maps having the ability to tell us that, hey, there's a delay up ahead and there's a new thing. That the new is so much better than the old that was just familiar. God wants us to recognize the new that he puts before us. It takes that relationship that we have with him to really realize what that newness is for us. Not everybody's walk is the same. What he delivered me from is different than what he delivered you from. But the important thing is we have a new life in him. God didn't just make us new because he didn't like the old us. He made us new so that we can live with a perfect God. The old us had no space for God. The new us only has space for God. And he doesn't want us to stop with our relationship with him. He wants us to tell other people of that new relationship as well. That they have the ability to have that new life that only he can give them. He wants us to take that reconciliation where he brought us back to him and pass it along to others. All because we had an old, sinful life destined to be apart from God. But we recognized our need for him. That without him, we were destined to death through our sin. But because of the sacrifice of his son, dying and then rising again on the third day, we have a victory over the grave because of our faith in Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't yet know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to introduce you to Him today. If that's you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Now, we didn't announce baptisms today, and that's okay. If you'd like to be baptized, hit up an usher at any time while we're doing baptisms. There's plenty of water, we've got plenty of robes, plenty of towels. I'll say we have declarations to make here today. I'll say it's a special day that we're sharing with these people. Is there anybody else that would like to get baptized this morning? I say we've got the water here. We're ready if you are. I'll say it doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be in all this group. Feel free to hit us up afterwards. We will baptize you. There's nothing that says you have to be baptized to get to heaven. But it is a step of obedience. It is a step of faith. It is a declaration that we make. If at any point God moves on your heart in the future to get baptized either, just let us know. It only takes a couple hours to set this thing up. I'll say, we've got people that are dedicated. They will help. We'll get it set up in a hurry. I'll say, there's nothing that's impossible. There's nothing that's beyond God. There's no person that is beyond God. My prayer is that we use this thing more often. My prayer is that this is a regular thing. It's wonderful what God's doing today. Be lifting up these three that have been baptized so far. We know the attack the enemy tries to do. And he don't play fair either. Will you pray with me? Well, Father, we thank you for the obedience that you have given these three this morning, God. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in this body, God. We thank you for who you made us to be, God. Lord, help us recognize our identity with you. Help us recognize the new nature that we have through you, Jesus. Lord, only you could have been the one to change us. Lord, I know what it was like to hear it and hear it and hear it, but it wasn't until you got a hold of us that we actually made the change, Lord. Lord, have your way. Lord, we aren't content in where we are. We aren't satisfied with doing the same old, God. Help us recognize the new thing that you want for us, God. We embrace the uncomfortable, God. We get out of our comfort zones, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.